the importance of Israel's repentance. When the Lord Jesus comes to establish his universal reign, the scriptures reveal that his seat of power is to be the throne of David, Luke chapter 1 verse 32, placed in Jerusalem, the city of the great king, Matthew chapter 5 verse 35. But just as in the natural order of things a king rules firstly over his own countrymen, his first dominion, and then by victorious warfare he subjugates other peoples under him, whose lands then become added to his dominion. So this will be the case with the reign of the Lord's Christ. Although his reign is to be global, his first dominion is said to be Israel, Micah chapter 4 verse 8. As Gabriel testified, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke chapter 1 verse 32 to 33. And in that day, Jerusalem, being the center of global authority and the home of the King of the world, shall be held in honor and praise by all other nations. The great king shall require it to be so, for it is written, "The nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12 to 14. The fellow countrymen of the Lord Jesus, the descendants of Abraham through Jacob, are God's people, whom he hath not cast away. Romans chapter 11, verse 2. And it is through them that the Lord has chosen to effect his purpose. He called them out of Egypt as a nation from the midst of another nation, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34, in remembrance of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Exodus chapter 3, verse 24, that they might be a model people for a name and for a praise and for a glory, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. To Israel were given the law, a set of standards far higher than the crudities of any human legislation, founded upon the principle of love, the love for God and the love for man. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 to 40. And it was in observance of these laws that Israel were an example to and set above the hordes of barbarians around them, as Moses exhorted, "Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 6. But Israel were not simply a paradigmatic race of men, for the Lord has predicated salvation for them and all other nations upon belief of certain promises made to the fathers concerning them. This was the teaching of Christ, saying salvation is of the Jews, John chapter 4 verse 20, and of his apostle, "If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Romans chapter 11 verse 15. Forgiveness of sins comes through the promised seed of Israel's progenitor, Romans chapter 4 verse 1 to 8, upon the basis of the things covenanted to him, Galatians chapter 3 verse 18. Indeed, the very blessing obtainable by the Gentiles through faith in Christ is styled apostolically the blessing of Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 verse 14, and the promises made to Abraham contained the gospel. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. The promises to Abraham, as recorded in Genesis, the promises conferred upon Abraham, and his multitudinous seed, the right to an age, lasting possession of all the land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. But as Abraham never possessed this land, Acts chapter 7, verse 5, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, and as the preeminent seed referred to is Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, who also never possessed any such land, Luke chapter 9, verse 58, it is evident that they relate to an age yet future, when the Lord shall return to raise Abraham from the dead, that they might both receive their inheritance together. The sojourn of Abraham's natural seed in the land under the law was a foretaste of the kingdom, demonstrating to all who beheld the wisdom of their laws that the blessing of God rested upon those whom he had taken out of another nation for himself. But by the very nature of things, as they possessed the land under law, not promise, their sojourn was only a shadow or pattern of better things to come. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 15 and Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. But in order for the Abrahamic covenant to be fulfilled, Israel must be brought back to the land to take up their inheritance with their Saviour and King. This is the hope of Israel for which the apostle was imprisoned. Acts chapter 28 verse 20. And in order for this to take place, they must also have the faith of their father Abraham. The apostle speaks of this when discussing the bringing in of the Gentiles. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is under the law, but to that also, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Israel, which is under the law, are assured of their inheritance when they turn to the Lord in faith of his promise. Thus, the promise requires that Israel are restored, not just to the land, but also to God. The future kingdom of Israel. By its very nature, the kingdom over which Christ will rule is an Israelitish kingdom, his first dominion being over his own countrymen, whom he came to save. It is only when Israel are received in again that the kingdom can be restored to them, Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Only then can the Lord Jesus take up his reign. Luke chapter 1 verse 33, and only then can his brethren receive their inheritance and reign with him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 21 and chapter 5 verse 10. Without Israel's restoration, therefore, there can be no restored kingdom and no inheritance. Truly the apostle wrote, "If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Romans chapter 11 verse 15. We cannot receive our inheritance unless they receive theirs, for our inheritance is theirs, and it is only extended to us by our becoming joined to Israel and their hope. We have already shown that we cannot receive an inheritance independently of Israel, not by replacing the Jew, for the Jews are yet to be received in again. Rather, it is by becoming a Jew through faith and union with Christ, Abraham's preeminent seed, and by embracing the Israelitish hope in God, that he will restore them, as promised. As it is written, Abraham is not the father of circumcision. To them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Those who are yet dead in their sins are, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. But through faith and baptism, we become one with Christ and therefore children of God, members of Israel's commonwealth and heirs of the promise. This is the apostles' inspired testimony. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. So it is that the Gentiles are brought in by a like principle by which Israel were led out from bondage. A nation from the midst of another nation, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34, into the land of promise. God did visit the Gentiles to take out from them a people for his name, Acts chapter 15, verse 14. They are taken out from the kingdoms of men to become part of the commonwealth of Israel, that they also might be led by the antitypical Joshua, the captain of their salvation, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, into the same inheritance at the coming of the seed to whom the promise was made, by Brother Christopher Maddox,